Thanks very much for your leadership on this. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having us this evening. My name is Doug Cooper. I'm with Mercy Corps Northwest, and I'm here because of the work that we do in helping people reenter the community from incarceration. We operate the RTC, the Reentry Transition Center, that sees about 1,000 people a year coming from incarceration back to our neighborhoods. And we also teach classes, have been teaching class for about 7 years out at Coffee Creek on entrepreneurship and self-employment to the women there. I would echo what Mr. Chamberlain said, that I can't add very little to the experience that you've already heard. What I'd like to add to the testimony is our experience at the RTC of the great number of people that we work with who've made really serious mistakes in their past, but who are now making good faith and honest efforts to become productive citizens. You know, and their success is really the best case scenario for everybody. It's the best case for them, for their families, and for the community. This proposal helps create that best case scenario, so we fully support it. And we hope that it's enacted by the city, and we expect to see it having great positive effect on the people that we work with. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for the work you do. Michael, welcome.
Good afternoon to Mayor and Council. Thank you for having me. I'm Michael Alexander. I'm President and Chief Executive Officer of the Urban League of Portland. Yesterday afternoon around 1 p.m., I saw a poll conducted by the Portland Business Journal that asked, should employers be banned from asking job seekers about criminal backgrounds on job applications? It's around 1 o'clock. 74% felt that the question shouldn't be asked and that removing the box would broaden the talent pool available to employers and give applicants a chance to explain their past problems. And that gave me tremendous lift and validation because it seemed to be that the general readership of the Business Journal was in agreement with the work that we were doing on this issue. Well, last night, before I left the office at 6:30, I thought I'd check the poll again. And the percentage of support had fallen from 74% to 33%. And the number of people who felt that employers should be free to decide on their own whether or not they screen for criminal backgrounds at any time had gone up to 50%. This morning, it was at 53%. And so it's clear that this is a proposal within our city that does not have universal support. Being able to institute a change of this type has monumental impact to many people in our state and our nation. Across America, 65 million people have criminal histories. That's 20% of the population of this country. 33,000 Oregonians are either incarcerated or under the supervision of the Department of Corrections. And although African Americans constitute 2% of the state's population, we constitute 11% of those who are under the supervision of the Department of Corrections. The work of the Urban League and numerous other partner organizations is focused on assisting these individuals to reenter communities, families, and workforces successfully, because we all know that, as has been stated several times, the best deterrent to recidivism is a job. The bottom line is that all of these individuals who are committed to redirecting their lives deserve a second chance and a fair chance. The challenge that we face today is a daunting one, but we're joined by a number of people in our Portland family in support of banning the box and removing this structural barrier to employment. It is with particular appreciation that I acknowledge that the Portland Business Alliance has publicly stated that they're fundamentally in agreement with the goals of banning the box. The League and the Alliance both agree that we have an opportunity to create a more equitable path to employment for many in our city. We agree on the principle of moving the inquiry regarding criminal history and the use of background checks further into the interview process. We do, however, find ourselves in a position of what I would call violent agreement when it comes to the issue of when that inquiry can be made for criminal history or background checks. I know that many of the concerns that have been raised by some of our colleagues within the business community are related to the potential legal exposure we heard about earlier, or the belief that this policy will be administratively burdensome. But, as has been stated, we had the opportunity of looking at the experience of almost 100 cities, states, and municipalities who have enacted various types of ban-the-box legislation to find out what works and what didn't work, not whether we should do it or not do it. Many of our friends and colleagues within the business community prefer a policy that would allow for background checks after an interview has been given, but before a conditional offer has been made. And on its face value, that may sound to be a reasonable approach. But we would ask you to consider the following concerns that we have at the League as to why that is not the best approach. One, we know that the EEOC has recognized tying criminal histories and background checks to a conditional offer as a best practice. We also know that many of the corporations within our city currently follow this process. And in looking at creating the recommendations for this ordinance, we looked to see what was a best practice within industry, within business, that was currently working. And this is one. Allowing the use of background checks after an interview and before a conditional offer creates a high risk that the decision will be made to eliminate a candidate before the determination has been made as to who the best candidate is. Waiting until an offer is made ensures that employers are gathering information for the purpose of determining a hire and not as a process for eliminating consideration of candidates. And I have to say that it also gives some sense of confidence to people who are making applications for jobs that background information collected on a group of individuals under consideration will not be kept within the database of an organization so that it comes back to haunt an individual who may apply for a job in the future that they are the best candidate for, but that information is housed within the database of an employer who will use it in future considerations for employment. I know this is a complex situation, and as we work our way through it, I hope that we will keep in mind that honorable people can disagree. Let's also keep in mind that all sectors of this community agree on much more around this issue than we don't agree on. And I hope that if we can stay the course, we can then turn around and begin to address that 55% of the respondents of the survey yesterday who didn't think this was even worth our taking the time to talk about today. Thank you.
Thank you. Questions, please?
I have a question for my friend Tom Chamberlain. Tom, you said you were concerned about the possibility of hollowing this out, and you've been working on this issue for a long time. It runs very deep. Is the concern you have primarily focused on the timing of the background check and preserving a private right of action? Are those the two things that you would consider a hollowing out?
Enforcement, and when you have that background check, I think you can play around with that background check to really, negate your policy. So I don't think there's a lot of room to play with it.
So the timing's important. And on the enforcement side, the proposal that's before us has both an administrative remedy and a private right of action. Do you have a strong view, based on your experience, as to whether the city did the enforcement mechanism or whether we contracted with the state labor commissioner to do it?
I really can't speak to that.
So what we should do is really
NLRB. I think you might have a strong view, but we're talking about whether the Bureau of Labor and Industries has the subject matter expertise that the people who know how to do it, that we should contract with rather than creating our own.
What I think is important, what side you come down on, whether it's BOLI or a private right of action, that it's real, that it has teeth in it, and it's enforceable.
And let me be clear on that, because you've been very thoughtful on this. My question is really about the administrative side, and it's do we want the city attorney to be handling the administrative mechanism, or do we want to contract with BOLI? I think it's a big question we have to look at, and it will in part depend on what our distinguished labor commissioner thinks about whether that's an appropriate role for them to play. But I just want to get your sense. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Other questions? Thank you all very much. Now I want to call up some folks whose help we'll need to make this work, and that is Marion Haynes from the Portland Business Alliance, and if she's still here, Heather Hale from Venture Portland. I think we're going to go another 40-50 minutes with testimony.
I have an engagement.
I've got an engagement.
All right, we'll see how much longer people can stay. Marion, go ahead, please.
Heather left, so you just have
okay.
Me. Marion Haynes with the Portland Business Alliance. I want to thank Michael for his comments. I do think that there is a lot of agreement on this issue. The Alliance was aware that there were groups interested in pursuing this issue as early as last summer, and so we took the steps of pulling a group of our members together, large businesses, small businesses, local businesses, multi-state, and some of whom have banned the box voluntarily on their own employment applications. So we had a wide-ranging view. And I want to be really clear that the Alliance does support removing the box from employment applications. I think Michael gave a little preview of some of the areas where we do think that the details matter, and we hope to have more conversations about the timing of criminal background checks. Flexibility is important for employers. Every employer is different. Their hiring practices are different. Their workplaces are different. The requirements of jobs are different. And so having some level of flexibility in the timing of those background checks for different kinds of employers is important. Do we have some that wait until a conditional offer is made? Yes. Do we have others that don't wait until that point? Yes. Do we have some, like the Alliance itself, we don't have applications. We have no box to check, and we don't do criminal background checks. We've hired a number of people that do have criminal backgrounds. So every business is different, and that flexibility is something that we want to be mindful of as we're looking to adopt an ordinance to get to this really important goal, because whatever we do, it should work. And so working for prospective employees and for the employers that will be hiring them is important. The private right of action is also something that gives us some concern. we have reviewed ordinances and statutes in other jurisdictions around the country and have found that the private right of action and waiting until the conditional offer, while they do exist out there in other ordinances, are kind of the outlier. Not as many jurisdictions go that direction. So thank you for the opportunity to comment. This is a really important issue. We support the goal. We support removing the box from the application, and we look forward to some more dialogue about some of the specific details. Thank you.
Thank
Marion,
you.
You've been very clear, your organization has been very clear about your values on this, which is that you support the movement to ban the box, and you support the goals. This hearing is not to do the sausage making. This hearing is to frame the issue and make sure that we know what people's concerns are, and then we're going to draft something. So let me put the question to you. Do you have a strong feeling one way or another about having either the city attorney do an administrative remedy or contracting with BOLI?
We have not taken up that issue specifically, Commissioner. I would offer two thoughts, but I could come back to you in more detail. Cost effectiveness, I think, will be something that we would want to look at and ensure that we're doing something that is most cost effective. I would also note that there is some familiarity and existing relationships and interactions with businesses and BOLI. So again, I'll come back with more information, but I think that existing relationship provides some value since they're doing a lot of other employment law oversight.
Thank you.
Great, thank you. So Marion, thank you. We will call on you for more feedback as we get further along. So let's take a pause here for a second and let me talk about the process, which is based on this discussion and council's agreement. We're going to ask that the city attorney prepare an ordinance that addresses the issues that Judy laid out at the front end, and that we also queue up council discussion of the questions that have been raised today. We also have folks who've signed up to testify, and I know we're going to run out of a quorum today. So one option would be to just not take public testimony now and let those folks who are signed up be first on the list when we come back to the ordinance. That's probably our best choice, even though some of you have waited a long time, because I know we're going to lose a couple of members of the council here in the next 15 minutes, right?
Well, and Mayor, let's be clear. The council is going to draft an ordinance, and we are going to come back and debate it. So for people that are here who want to testify to do something, the council is going to do something. The question is the details. And Judy did a wonderful job laying out the framework. Might I suggest that in whatever timeline you establish for getting legislation drafted, one thing we do is just arrange for her to visit each office just to get some feedback from this hearing.
That's good.
And then have a chance for us to do our follow-up questions, also based on what we've heard from the testimony. And then perhaps a draft piece of legislation could be posted for comment, and then we can come back for hearing.
Could we see a show of hands for who hasn't yet spoken that was hoping to?
Okay, we've got a dozen or so, maybe. So you want to take 15 minutes and take the folks that we can take, and then
Commissioner, what's your comp? When do you have
what's your conflict?
About 15 minutes.
Okay,
I have about 15 minutes.
All right, so let's take 15
minutes.
Let me make a couple suggestions. One, if you can wait, we will make sure that we keep your contact information and sign you up first for the next hearing. But if you would really prefer to testify this evening, we're going to try to give you the chance. So if we call your name again, if you defer. One, we want to make sure that we have your email address so we can send you a copy of the ordinance when it's drafted, if you'd like that. And two, we'll keep you on the list as someone who can testify first at the next hearing.
Can I just offer one other suggestion, Mayor? We've all been taking copious notes. We've had a full presentation on the issues. Frankly, just from my point of view, having someone say they support doing this, and then an issue that maybe we haven't heard about,
yeah.
If there's something that you don't think that we are has been put before us, that's especially useful right now, so we get to have a full record to make the legislation off of.
Good suggestion.
And the other piece, Mayor, I know you mentioned in the State of the City address that you are looking at some tax breaks. So there's, in addition to the requirement, that there would be some incentives.
Yes.
And that, I'm assuming, will come as part of the budget process?
Yes, it'll come as part of the budget process, but we should at least have those conceptually before us when we act on the ordinance itself.
Great. So, okay.
Good. Okay, so with that understanding, we'll call the list of folks that are signed up. Again, if you defer, you're not going to just get lost in the system. We'll call you back at the next one.
Why don't, Mayor, so. I think your practice actually is you get called first at the next hearing.
That's right.
So if you defer, you're first in line for the hearing, which actually is a pretty good deal.
Okay.
Carla? I showed 22 people left.
Okay.
The first are Jamie Partridge, Tanya Dow, and Joanne Harrigal.
Okay.
Thank you. That was Joanne?
Yes.
Thanks, Joanne. And let's go with Katie Murphy.
Yes, I'm here.
Okay.
Come on up.
Jeremy Titchener.
Okay, thank you.
Joe Walsh.
You going to defer, Joe, or are you going to testify today? All right, come on up. Jamie, please.
Thank you, Mayor and Commissioners. I'm here representing Portland Jobs with Justice, which is a coalition of 95 organizations, labor unions, community groups, and faith-based organizations for workers' rights. And I'll cut through my remarks and basically say that we're here to support Fair Chance, Ban the Box, and we're particularly concerned that the criminal justice system is a biased system, disproportionately incarcerates people of color, and that this is a race equity issue, banning the box, and it's exciting that you're going forward with this. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Welcome.
Hi, Katie Murphy, and I am an advocate and also concerned citizen. And while I appreciate this ordinance, and I think it's a start in the right direction, I worked with many people helping them expunge their records. It's a process. We have one organization here, Clean Street, I think, and I haven't even seen anyone from here. They're here, but it's a process that I had to learn how to do working with 26 of my clients. And when people come to me with a criminal history and they don't even know how to decipher the information, they don't even know where to get their background check, they don't know how. And then, in some of our partners, the nonprofits also do not have the resources to help people to get their records expunged. And so, I'm afraid that when we draft this ordinance and it happens, there's going to be a bottleneck. Because just like when people request their credit histories and they get 30 days to dispute it, and there's some changes going on now nationally where that's really going to speed up, there's going to be a bottleneck in the process because it's going to take time. It took me time from picking up my client, taking them down to the Metropolitan Public Defender's Office where I partnered with myself and them to help them, get their records expunged, to help them get at a low cost, and it costs money. It costs $500, $600 to get an attorney. People are poor. And so, this is great. This is a step. But unless we can get it expunged before the unnecessary things that are on there that they don't even know can be expunged, when they go in front of that employer and they have that criminal history, it's going to create a lot of time. It's going to take a lot of time.
So, ma'am, we hear you loud and clear, and I think you meant Project Clean Slate, and we
Project
have funded
Clean
that.
Slate, Roy J.
You're absolutely right. If we don't expunge violations and other things on people's record, not only does it prevent them from getting a job, but it prevents them from renting successfully.
That's right.
So thank you for that comment.
Yeah, I appreciate that. If you would, make sure Josh Alpert, who's sitting behind our council clerk there, has your contact info, because we'd like to work with you on that specific issue.
That's great. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Mr. Walsh.
My name is Joe Walsh. I represent Individuals for Justice. We would just echo the AFL-CIO's if I understood Mr. Chamberlain's position, and not to have you create a paper tiger here, that if you just take the box out and then you back up and allow people to do preliminary checks before there's a job offer and those things, that's how you weaken this, and you make it a paper tiger. So when I first heard about this, I thought it was such a small step, and the everydayness of we incarcerate more people than anybody else in the world. So yes, you have a right to be concerned about this because it's a major issue of people coming out, not being able to get a job and being excluded by a check mark, for God's sakes. So I congratulate you for taking it up. Please don't make it a paper tiger. Thank you.
Good point. Thank you.
For Trudy Cooper, Sonia Young.
Trudy's going to defer. Come on up, Ms. Young.
And let's go with Shalonda Menifee.
One more.
And Laquita Lanford.
Welcome.
Hi there. Is it okay?
You bet.
I'm Mayor Hills and Commissioner Fritz, Salfman, and Fish. I'm Sonji Young. Currently, I serve as the former chair of the Human Rights Commission for the City of Portland. I also serve on, the Governor's Task Force on Elder Abuse, but today I'm not here on behalf of either of those organizations. I'm actually a recruiter by day. I work in human resources. And this conversation has actually sparked a lot of volatile conversation amongst human resources professionals. And I thought that I would bring the perspective as a recruiter. The concern that I have is from not only an enforcement perspective, but the education and public outreach perspective. As we've seen with other employment law, there needs to be teeth behind it in order for it to actually work. As an employer, as someone who works for a fairly large employer, Unfortunately, there are instances where we've had to work around these types of initiatives because of the type of work that we do. But I think the public outreach and education piece is paramount in making sure that something like this is actually successful. My suggestion and something that I would ask that you all would consider is perhaps instituting an employer advisory board, something that would enable local employers to actually bring forth their concerns about the ordinance before it is actually voted on and passed. I think that's an opportunity to really provide that initial outreach piece that the Portland Business Alliance obviously has really done a great job of providing some level of outreach, but to have an even-keeled platform for employers to bring forth their issues and ask those questions to vet them in a very reasonable context. That would be my recommendation, and I appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Yeah, that was what Commissioner Saltzman and I did with sick time, as you remember,
right,
and that was
right.
Just three meetings. It wasn't like the endless task force, but it was very helpful in crafting an ordinance that we all were able to then support, so I appreciate that suggestion.
Thank you.
Thank you. Welcome.
Good afternoon, Mayor Hills and City Council members. Thank you for the opportunity to testify before you on this important issue. My name is Shalonda Menifee, and I'm on the steering committee of PFLAG Portland Black Chapter. PFLAG Portland Black Chapter provides support, education, advocacy, and resources for Black lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgendered, and allied communities. We represent an important and significant part of the city. We support and urge you to pass the ordinance that will remove barriers for countless Black LGBTQ people, specifically youth and young adults, and thousands more throughout the city. As we live in a culture of homophobia, social stigma, anti-gay violence, transphobia, ignorance, and unacceptance, which too often push Black and brown, gay, and transgendered people into a cycle of homelessness, unemployment, and sometimes leads to crimes of survival. In our groundbreaking 2012 Lift Every Voice report, created in partnership with the Urban League of Portland, it highlights the experiences and disparities impacting Black LGBTQ Oregonians. The report quantifies our concerns and what we have known about our LGBTQ community. We are still highly disproportioned. In 2012, there were a startling rate of 18% unemployment in our community and an estimated 42% of homeless LGBT youth of color. In fact, in every highlighted issue area of disparities we face, the numbers are even higher than our straight Black or white LGBTQ counterparts. As we have heard, there are countless stories of family members and friends who struggle with landing employment or housing due to their criminal background. And 9 times out of 10, if they are on parole or probation, it is a requirement that they find stable housing and employment. As we have heard, although they have done their time, are rehabilitated, desperate and willing to be a productive citizen and be responsible, they are often discouraged, embarrassed, and or ashamed to have to disclose their criminal history, knowing that it can hinder their opportunity to be called for an interview or get approved for housing. Oftentimes, they feel as if they are still being punished for their crime. And for some, this may contribute to the cycle of recidivism. This is an opportunity to change that, to give individuals whom have paid their debt to society a chance to start over and thrive without the criminal history being used against them. We know how important removing barriers are to the members of the Black LGBTQ community. It is imperative that we create opportunities and policies that will remove barriers for equal opportunities. Banning the box will allow individuals with criminal history a better chance to be considered a viable candidate without being prejudged by the check in the box. Now it's time to ban the box. We as PFLAG Portland Black Chapter urge you to pass this ordinance and show that we matter, that we are part of this community, and that the City of Portland is supportive of and invested in the success of our Black LGBT community. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Thanks very much. Laquita, I think you're going to get the last word for tonight.
Oh, thank you so much, Mayor. Mayor, Commissioners, I thank you guys so much for this opportunity. You know, I usually speak when it's of importance to me and the community. And I became familiar with Band of Box last summer when I mentioned that I moved back to Portland. And prior to that, I was in Houston, and I was doing some administrative assistant work at a college where the students were, half of the students had been incarcerated. I had students coming to me on a daily basis. It was a small barber college, and they were coming to me on a daily basis, you know, expressing that they were very much in need of, like, work. And I pulled together a small group to have this conversation about what it looks like when you have barriers or when you have a criminal background. So we came up with just a little project called Bob. You know, because of my background, we left out the M, but because of my background, and Bob can be anyone. And so in that process, I moved back home to Portland, and I saw a flyer last summer that had conversation about a fair chance. And I rushed over to that meeting, which was at Highland Church, and I learned a little bit about Band of Box. I also linked up with some folks from the Urban League at that time and wanted to be involved and be a volunteer for whatever canvassing or whatever conversation they were going to have in the community. And we did that last summer. Was my first opportunity with jumping on the bus with them and doing it in the New Columbia area. So we went door-to-door canvassing, and it was a very difficult conversation to have had with African-Americans in the community that felt like, you know, nobody really heard or cared about what they had been through and that they weren't going to have a second chance, period. And so with this initiative to continue to keep going, I totally support it. I support second chances. My mom spent 15 years in prison on two terms. And so that's effective to just not only to myself, but my whole entire family. So I really would like for this to be something that we can look forward to as we are unique in Portland and, you know, we're breaking barriers. So I thank you guys today for this opportunity.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you all for being here. Again, we want to apologize. Yes, truly. I want to apologize for anyone that wanted to speak today and can't, but we are going to lose a quorum. We will make sure we keep you on the list for the first position for when we resume. I'm going to direct my able staff member, Josh Alpert, who's trying to hide but not succeeding, to continue to work with the city attorney's office to develop an ordinance. I'd like to have the council members give us feedback. And again, anyone that wants to stay in touch, make sure we have your email contact as well as having you on the list. Other direction suggestions?
Mayor, just something for the good of the order.
Sure.
So I just, scheduling. We are scheduled tomorrow evening to do the rate review hearing.
Yes.
I understand. I hope we have a quorum, every member of council has received the PowerPoint, so you got that today.
Yep.
And any questions or comments before tomorrow night, Mayor? At the execs meeting, we were told that there would be no vote tomorrow afternoon.
That's right, and I misspoke today on the radio.
And just so we're clear, also at execs, I submitted a memo to the council asking that this thing be put over 2 weeks and with a rationale and laid out some issues. So we'll take that up tomorrow.
Okay.
Partly it's because last week when I was sick, I just wasn't able to do what I had intended to do. And I think a little more time gets us a better result. So I'll make that request tomorrow. What we have is the Uber matter, and then we have everything else. There are a handful of the urban renewal amendments that I think are no longer controversial, but it'll be your call whether you want those disposed of. But we have asked that the matter be set over for 2 weeks.
Okay, well, we can take up that question tomorrow because, yeah, we're not going to vote on them tomorrow.
Not voting anyway. I just want to be clear that everyone knows we've asked for a 2-week set over, and I will not be bringing amendments tomorrow.
Okay, good. Anything else? Well, then again, I'm going to direct that our able assistant city attorney and my staff continue to work to develop an ordinance based on what we've heard here today, bring it back to council.
Are you going to convene an employer group that was
suggested? I think we'll take those suggestions under advisement. We certainly want to hear from the employer community one way or another. So, again, thank you all very much. We're recessed till tomorrow at 2 p.m. Good. Thank you all.
Well, he gave you a promotion, then he took it away.
I didn't want to make Tracy nervous.
I'm not your lawyer on this, but I think you had it long enough to have a wage claim. So put in a couple hours.
Put in a conditional offer.
You got at least that.
I got a conditional offer.
I think you got 8 hours of pay at the higher rate, so put in for that.
You got it.